This past Thursday marked the start of the season. This past Sunday, the first round with lots and lots of football and a lot of unexpected things happening, such as, you know, the Niners winning. I'm just saying. But anyways, enough of that. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, my loyal co-host Chris and Weasel, ready to bring you the action. We're going to go ahead and open up with that season opener, your pardon the expression, where the Saints were visiting the Packers, the Super Bowl champion from 2 years ago, facing off against last year's champion. And gotta admit, I think we all picked the Packers in the study hall, more on that later, because the Packers had more defense. Yet when you see a game that had 76 total points, yeah, that there's no defense. 42-34 the score. The Packers prevail after stopping rookie Mark Ingram on a goal line stand late in the fourth quarter. Solid performances from both quarterbacks. Breeze went 65% with 419 yards and 3 touchdowns. But if you can believe it, I believe it was the stalest 400-yard performance I've really seen. He seemed to kind of be out of sync, especially at the start of the game. But big hits to Marquise Colston, who had a lost fumble. And then Devery Henderson had a touchdown with his 6 catches for 100 yards. You had a lot of great individual performances, whereas the Packers, Aaron Rodgers on his day, where he went 77% with 312 yards and 3 touchdowns, hit 9 different receivers. So versus Breeze hitting 5. That kind of comparison is just a difference in approach and the difference in the offenses altogether. 49 times the Saints threw, running 21. The Packers much more balanced, 35 passes and 27 runs. Kind of the way I think the Packers dominated for the most part. I know that Charles Woodson was involved in an incident with a lineman. I didn't really catch all of it. You guys seem to really have an input on that? Well, but we'll put it this way.
I didn't see it.
We'll put it this way. He basically threw a punch at a lineman in a scuffle. It wasn't seen on the field. I've not heard any word about suspension, so the reason why I don't really have a whole lot to say is because a whole lot hasn't really been released on it yet. Darren Sproles had an impressive performance himself. Had a punt return touchdown. Didn't do a whole lot as a running back on the ground, but had 7 catches for 75 yards, prompting people to ask, who's Reggie Bush? Just saying. the Saints did have 4 receivers over 70 yards, by the way, of the 5 that caught passes. There was only 1 turnover all game, which was by the Saints. The fumble by Colston that I cited earlier ended up being the difference in the matchup. Also worthy of note, as Weasel reminds me, in the case with the diuretic, where Will Smith was one of 3 players indicated, the other 2 being the Williams boys, the one of them a former tackle, the other a current tackle, mm-hmm. Pat Williams and Kevin Williams of the Vikings at the time, also involved in a case with a diuretic that had a masking agent for steroids in it, was unapproved. We'll get into it a little bit more later, but Will Smith did miss that game, so that could have been a little bit more pressure Aaron Rodgers might have felt. We'll never know that now unless they see each other in the playoffs. So the Packers start off 1-0. Another matchup that was interesting, not former Super Bowl teams, mind you, but always a division favorite, and a game that we were pretty stoked about, the Steelers and the Ravens. Weasel.
The Ravens dominated on both sides of the football as they won their home opener against their bitter division rival Steelers 35-7.
Even in special teams, I think.
Yeah. For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 22 of 41, 53%, 280 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 INTs. He was intercepted twice in the red zone by Ed Reed, and the other was a deflected pass by defensive tackle Haloti Ngata that Ray Lewis picked off. Ngata also forced 1 of 2 of Big Ben's lost fumbles. He was sacked 4 times. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall lost a fumble, but had 12 rushes for 45 yards, 3.8 average. In the receiving game, Mike Wallace had 8 catches for 107 yards. Hines Ward had 5 for 67. Wally Moore lost the fumble, but had 2 for 30. And Emmanuel Sanders had 2 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown.
You know, at the risk of making the cheesy joke, Haloti Ngata comes in, having a great performance at defensive tackle, causes an interception, picks up a fumble, and people are asking in Baltimore, Ndamukong who? Ha ha ha. Go ahead.
Yeah. For the Ravens, Joe Flacco was 17 of 29, 58%, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs, sacked once. In the running game, Ray Rice had 19 rushes for 107 yards, 5.6 average with a touchdown, and former Dolphin Ricky Williams had 12 for 63, 5.3 average.
You know, I knew he was going to be a contributor, but I had no idea it'd be a 5.3 average. Granted, this game is kind of an outlier with this kind of a game, these two teams being at 35-7, but...
I mean, Ray Rice had 5.6 against the Steelers.
That's also being an anomaly.
Broke the century mark,
right,
too.
Right, most running backs don't break 100 yards. Good point, Chris.
In the receiving game, Anquan Boldin had 4 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Ed Dixon had 5 for 59 and a touchdown. And Ray Rice had 4 for 42 and a touchdown. What it comes down to, turnovers. Steelers turned it over 7 times to the Ravens, 0.
Anybody got anything more to add to that?
Yeah, this is the... I think the first game the Steelers have lost opening weekend in I think like 8 years. They had like the 4th highest streak, I think it was, like eight.
Oh yeah, I saw it. Right. For opening wins, right. And then this is the first time the Steelers have had 7 turnovers in a game since the 90s. And, so yeah.
And isn't Roethlisberger stat right there more Favre-esque right there?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up.
Two in the red zone, 2 fumbles lost.
Because we actually had someone comment last week. Another similarity between Roethlisberger and Favre, both were involved in a sex scandal. So, I mean, now granted, Roethlisberger's was first, so I don't think we can say he's modeling Favre at that point. But it's an interesting comparison.
Well, actually, Favre's was first. It just didn't come out till after.
Because
it was when he was with the Jets.
Oh. So. Anyways, speaking of teams who got screwed in a beatdown, let's head over to Houston, where the Texans faced off against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, Houston, we have a problem. Actually, no, it's Indianapolis we have a problem. The Suck for Luck campaign started in Indianapolis this weekend. Because without Manning, they are useless.
You know, last week we caused a car wreck because you stopped me and it was kind of a thing that was bad. That was so good. You done blowed the show up.
Yeah.
This is why shows have pre-production to be prepared for stuff like that. Wow.
The Texans dominated the Colts in all 3 phases of the game to go up 34-0 at half, and the Texans just coasted the rest of the game to a 34-7 win. For the Colts, retired Kerry Collins, 16 of 31, 52%, 197 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. But he is Collins, so he fumbled the ball twice.
Right.
He was sacked 3 times. For the Texans, Matt Schaub, 17 for 24, 71%, 220 yards, 1 touchdown, and he threw 2 interceptions. On the ground, for the Colts, Joseph Addai, 8 for 39, 4.9 a carry. And for the Texans, Ben Tate, 24 for 116 with a touchdown. He also lost a fumble. And Derek Ward, 11 for 39, 3.5 a carry. Through the air for the Colts, Reggie Wayne had led all receivers with 7 catches, 106 yards, with a touchdown. Dallas Clark, coming back from his injury, 4 for 39. And Pierre Garçon, 3 for 39. For the Texans, Andre Johnson, 7 for 95 and a touchdown. Jacoby Jones, 3 for 43. And he also had a punt return for a touchdown. And fullback James Casey, 3 for 29. Basically, this game was over. I mean, Texans had 36 minutes of possession of the Colts 23. Third down, the Colts were 1 for 9.
Yeah, I got that, too. And another thing to note for the Texans, Kevin Walter going to be out 10 to 12 weeks with an injury he sustained in the game. I think a lot of people are going to get pissed off who drafted Arian. Whew, we try that again. Adrian Wilson. I don't even know. He hasn't played in the years in however long. Arian Foster. You know, the champion of the Aryan Nation there. He's hurt, isn't playing because of the hamstring pull in the preseason. Ben Tate comes out and puts out numbers like that. If it affects his playing time, that injury screwed over a lot of fantasy owners. You know.
He got injured before most of the fantasy drafts were going on. And
you tell me how many people race for Ben Tate on Monday off of waivers or you know, in transactions.
What's funny is it's, yeah, Ben Tate was taken in my draft in like the 12th round, I think, 13th round. But you know, with the Colts, they really miss Manning, Sessions, Bob Sanders. I mean,
yeah,
giving up 100 over 100 yards rushing. I mean,
they tend to do that often anyway.
Right.
But here'd be the pop quiz for you, gentlemen. Was the issue the quick release that Peyton Manning has versus Kerry Collins being in place and not knowing what was going on? Or do we point it to something else?
I think the quick release. I mean, Peyton Manning, he's just, he knows where everybody is on the field.
And he
makes quick reads, and I mean, and Kerry Collins, he's old, and
he's old.
He was, when did he join the team? It was a couple weeks ago, right?
It was 2 weeks ago.
I think it might have even been a little bit less than 2 weeks. Chris?
No, I don't think it's all with Manning and Collins and everything. I think it's just, I mean, the team just, when you give up 17 points in the first quarter, 17 points in the second quarter.
Despite two interceptions, or excuse me, at least one interception having taken place, because the first Houston drive, I believe, was an interception by Schaub.
Right.
So,
yeah,
and they're still down that much.
Right. And it's just the team just didn't have any fire on there, really. I mean, defense just wasn't there. Special teams, I mean, giving up on return.
So, well, another pair of teams that didn't appear to have a lot of fire in them until, you know, kind of towards the end when it was a matchup, would be the Tennessee Titans visiting Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Now, the Jags, we weren't very friendly with them in our preseason analysis, but the Jags win the day 16-14. I think all three of us picked that one correctly. Matt Hasselbeck in his Titan debut, not bad, 21-34, 62%, 263 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception to end the game where he was going to get the ball and he was going to score. Well, kind of. More on that later.
That ball looked like it was like you playing out in the street calling playing 500.
And we'll get to that.
He was a dog, yeah.
Luke McCown takes over for the now freshly cut David Garrard, 17 for 24 with 71% on the day. Not bad. I feel like I expected more. I mean, yeah, I didn't check that. I didn't expect more than that. Yeah, he lost a fumble, but he was a solid contributor. You know, on the ground, he's got Maurice Jones-Drew supporting him, 24 for 97, 4.1 a carry. So that helps. And despite, I think another part where Hasselbeck got kind of lucky too was Kenny Britt, his star wide receiver, and didn't end up having to face, what's it called, suspension? Yeah. He went 5 catches for 136 yards, 2 touchdowns, including an 80-yarder off of some very Favre-esque desperation flip. Blow the whistle! It was just circus as heck. And, yeah, I'll leave it at that. I was all worried that I had forgotten touchdowns for Luke McCown, and he didn't have any. See, so I did do my job. Anyways, but beyond that, the Jags really not scoring but the one touchdown by Mojo on the day. The rest were all Joscoby field goals. The Titans had 2 passing touchdowns, both to Kenny Britt, as I mentioned earlier. But towards the end of the game, they have an opportunity to drive and take an opportunity. Rob Baronis, this dude's got a range, 60-some yards. You know, there's a shot there until, as Chris very adequately put it, 500! Unfortunately, Kenny Britt lost. So
it wasn't even within 10 yards of the ball.
Outside shorter, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding, among other things.
When he was inside on the hash.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Things worthy of note, too, Luke McCown in his start here, 9 for 18 on third downs. I mean, yeah, I know it's the Titans, but that's still pretty darn impressive, if you ask me. So that'll wrap that game up. We head over to a game that was supposed to be another game that was supposed to be interesting, but didn't turn out to be so. Atlanta taking on the Bears. Chris.
The Bears D looked like a team that deserved to be in the conference championship last year, and the Falcons in the first half looked like they couldn't even compete against Charleston Southern. And the Bears
That's
won.
A college, everybody.
The Bears won easily 30-12. Matt Ryan was 31 of 47, 66%, 319 yards, no interceptions, an interception, and a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. He was sacked 5 times. Jay Cutler is 22 for 32, 69%.
All right.
312 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was sacked 4 times.
My bad, Weasel. I changed it up on you just from the hip there. Right?
On the ground, Michael Turner, 10 carries, 100 yards, 10 yards average. He also had a fumble, which the fumble and the interception led to field goals by the Bears. And for the Bears, Matt Forte was 16 for 66, 4.1 a carry. Through the air, tight end Tony Gonzalez, 5 for 72. Rookie Julio Jones, 5 for 71. Roddy White, 8 for 61. And Michael Turner, 3 for 40. And for the Bears, Matt Forte led all the Bears receivers with 5 catches for 90 yards, one touchdown, which was like a 54-yard screen. Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox.
3 for 60. Devin Hester, 3 for 60.
You know, 3 for 60, not bad for a dude who was demoted to the third string with the arrival of Roy Williams. I'm just saying.
Devin Hester, 3 for 60 as well. Roy Williams, 4 for 55. And tight end Matt Spaeth, 2 catches for 7 yards. Why do I say that? Because he had a touchdown.
You know, maybe this is sentimental, but when you say Matt Spaeth, I can't help but notice to how much it sounds like Bo Skate.
Yeah. I was thinking that too.
Matt Spaeth!
Matt Spaeth! There's hope, he's so young!
Not the same.
It's not the same.
Right. You gotta have a fill-in, though, for the IR, you know?
So the thing I found that was interesting here stat-wise is that if you look at the total net yards for both teams, they're only 9 yards apart. 386 for the... Actually, am I
reading that? Yep, 386 for the Falcons and 377
for the
Bears. Yeah,
so the Falcons have more, right. But 3 turnovers.
Right, but then also 0 for 2 in the red zone.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. 3 turnovers, one of which returned for a touchdown by Urlacher.
That was the fumble.
Right.
There.
So that was all disappointing in all its disappointing glory. So next, I believe we head over to Chargers and the Vikings, yeah?
Yeah. The Vikings on the road lost to the Chargers 24-17. For the Vikings, Percy Harvin returned the opening kickoff 103 yards for a touchdown. After a 3-and-out by the Chargers, new Vikings quarterback Donovan McNabb had his first pass.
I'm so excited about his performance.
I know, right? Had his first pass thrown deflected at the line of scrimmage by linebacker Sean Phillips, who then intercepted it.
He'll do better later. It's okay.
Yeah. McNabb ended up being 7 of 15, 46%, 39 yards.
46%? You have to be talking about his rushing leg. He ran the ball 15 times,
yeah.
Right? No.
39 yards. 1 touchdown, 1 INT. Yeah. He was
sacked
once.
Actually, I think a better response is no.
Sacked twice. So after getting a big fat contract, Adrian Peterson had 16 rushes for 98 yards, 6.1 average. Percy Harvin had 4 for 15, 3.8 average. And McNabb had 3 scrambles for 32 yards.
Actually, the one run he had, his long run was pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the defender grabbed his leg and he extended out and his other knee almost touched the ground. Didn't.
Not so much.
And he broke it, so that was a good run.
The run, not his knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only player worth mentioning for the receiving game is Michael Jenkins from the Falcons. Three catches for 26 yards and a touchdown.
Good replacement for Bernard Berrien, I dare say.
Yeah, Bernard Berrien, not Sidney Rice. Anyways, for the Chargers, Phillip Rivers was 33 of 48, 68%, 335 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Now, Vikings defensive end Jared Allen went into coverage on running back Ryan Matthews, who was running a wheel route, and he actually intercepted a pass 7 yards downfield. It was pretty cool.
He's athletic.
He's athletic.
Weasel's assessment, he's athletic.
Rivers was sacked twice. Now, kind of mentioned earlier, the Vikings had their best run stopper, defensive tackle Kevin Williams, out because he was suspended for the first 2 games of the season from the Star Caps water pill that contained an unlisted banned substance.
Star Caps? This is so old. How far back does this go, Weasel?
About like 2008.
So what was the delay on it?
The delay was they had Minnesota, I think, kept it out because of the court system. They were able to...
It was like a union, it was a labor law or something
yeah,
in place.
Yeah, it was something like, something about with drug testing, how if it's saying over-the-counter, you can't get
right.
suspended for it.
Basically, it was a conflict with the state law and the NFL's policy.
Right. And so...
And where do the Vikings play again?
Yeah.
Minnesota.
There
yeah,
you
that's
go.
That's all I'm saying. For those
but
people who missed that. No,
at least... it was a 4-game suspension, but I think the NFL is switching to like a 2-game and a 6-game suspension. It's two games for like a lesser
charge.
Offense, like the
yeah.
lesser charge like this, and 6 games for like steroid use or something like that. So, and as mentioned, Will Smith was also suspended
missing
for the same
for,
thing.
In the Saints game for the other thing, right.
Now, Ryan Matthews was... 12 rushes for 45 yards, 3.8 average. And fullback Mike Tolbert had 12 rushes for 35 yards, 2.9 average with a touchdown.
A lot of talk that he'd be injured, but everyone's saying that he's going to be okay and will appear in the next Chargers game.
In the receiving game, tight end Antonio Gates had 8 catches for 74 yards. Matthews had 3 for 73. And Tolbert had 9 for 58 and with 2 touchdowns. Now the Chargers got the ball at their own 34-yard line off a punt, up 24-17 with 3 minutes left in the game. Vikings had 3 timeouts, but penalties killed them, with defensive tackles Leroy Guion and Fred Evans each having penalties, defensive offsides, and encroachments that both gave the Chargers a first down. That enabled them to run down the clock.
So, yeah, just basically mediocre offense overall. Do you think they would have been better off with Joe Webb?
Joe Webb? I think Joe Webb could throw a 39-yard pass.
Okay.
So, I mean, come on.
Hey, another injury that happened that he didn't mention was the kicker
yeah.
Nate Keating is out for the season.
Right.
All
right.
And then also, I mean, the punter, Mike Scrifes, has not attempted a field goal since 2000, hit a 40-yard field goal.
No, like, so yeah, I guess he's a reliable backup.
Right. And he hit all 3 extra point attempts as well.
That's pretty balling right there.
So we found that... Donovan McNabb is a bit of a disappointment in his Vikings debut.
So far.
Another quarterback who was a bit disappointing took place in our next game, where the Giants faced off against the Redskins. Weasel? Chris?
The depleted Giants defense allowed Rex Grossman to look like he knew what he was doing for
no,
a change.
No. Rex freaking Grossman.
Yeah. Made him look like Sexy Rexy. Like.
Rather than Gross Rexman, it's Sexy yeah. Rexy once again.
Yes. And the Skins beat the G-Men 28-14. For the Giants, Eli Manning, 18 for 32, 56%, 268 yards, no touchdowns. One interception that was deflected at the line and returned for a touchdown for 7 yards.
But they're still going to blame him for that, I'm sure.
Right. And he was sacked 4 times. Rex Grossman, 21 for 34, 62%, 305 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He also lost a fumble and he was sacked 4 times. On the ground, Ahmad Bradshaw, 13 carries, 44 yards. Brandon Jacobs, 6 for 29. And Eli Manning had 1 carry for 2 yards.
Woo!
On a bootleg that he scored on a touchdown.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, sure, the Skins won, but they should still be embarrassed that Manning ran the ball in on them. I'm saying.
Ex-Arizona Cardinal running back Tim Hightower for the Skins had 25 carries, 72 yards with a touchdown.
He was getting busy, too. He was, I'll tell you, it's not so much that the Giants' defense was bad as he was running hard, too.
Yeah, he was trucking some people there. For the Giants, Hakeem Nicks, 7 for 122 yards. Mario Manningham for 4 for 49, and tight end Jake Ballard 2 for 59. For the Skins, Santana Moss 6 for 76, tight end Fred Davis 5 for 105, Jabbar Gaffney 3 for 24 with a touchdown, and Anthony Armstrong 2 for 24 with a touchdown. For in this game, I mean, turnovers are about the same, yards are about the same. First downs, the Skins 22, the Giants 15. Third down conversion, the Skins were 36% and the Giants were 10%.
In a game where you can't find a difference, that's usually the difference. First down production, or
yeah.
third down production, rather. Absolutely.
And the Giants were missing Jason Tuck, who did not play.
Justin Tuck.
Justin Tuck. with an injury, and then, you know, there are also their other three people that are out on defense for...
Oh, no, the injury bug's got them.
Again.
They have a little help, though, with an injury bug as well. Sam Bradford, his right index finger sustained an injury against the Eagles where they got smashed. And also Steven Jackson, said to be missing next Monday night's game, facing off against the Giants as well.
Next Sunday night?
You got something, Weasel?
Yeah, there was something that...
it was Monday night.
That it was about 8 minutes left in the game, and the Redskins were up 21-14.
Okay.
There's a third down and nine, and Grossman threw a pass to Fred Davis. That was 2 yards before the first down. He was down, and all they needed to do was tap, like just tag him, and Antoine Roll, safety for him.
For the Giants.
Yeah, he dove in with his helmet first, and while that would have been fourth down, going to fourth down, they got a
helmet
unnecessary roughness and 15 yards.
Automatic first. Do we hear anything on a fine yet?
Not yet.
I mean,
not
yet. They usually wait.
It'll be like a 5,000 or something.
Right. They usually wait until later in the week to dispense that because they usually wait until the action's over for the week.
So yeah, instead of getting the ball back down by seven. The Redskins scored a touchdown on that drive. Put it out of the way.
Pivotal moment. Good call out, Weasel. Speaking of things that were good call outs, somebody on this panel said last week that the toughest game to pick, second to the Ravens and Steelers, was the Lions and the Bucks. The Lions heading over to Tampa. They're a cold weather team coming to a warm, warm planet. The Lions?
But they play in a dome.
And?
Who cares? A cold weather team if they played in
Detroit.
Yeah.
They're not used to hot weather. Damn near 100 degrees down here. They didn't get that in Detroit.
And who had the issues on Sunday?
Yeah, that's the part I'm getting to. And yet, despite all that, the Florida locals, including one quarterback, Josh Freeman, is leaving the field in cramps with cramps. Well, we'll leave what kind to the joke, but I thought it was in his legs. As the Lions take this game 27-20. That's right, the Lions, with a history of losing, begin to break the mold with the help of the mold breaker himself, Ndamukong Suh. And oh, by the way, that quarterback, Matt Stafford, 24 of 33, 73%, 305 yards, with three touchdowns and an interception. However, it was a pick six. Well, okay, so you can't win them all. Freeman, when he was on the field, went 28 for 43, 65%, 257 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Javon Best, notable here that he was hurt in the preseason, came back, I think, for the last preseason game, finally started to get his feet wet for this season, ended up being the top performer on the ground in the entire game with 21 carries, 72 yards, about three and a half yards a carry. So, ended up being quite a performer despite the injury in the preseason there. Kellen Winslow, the top receiver for the Bucks, had 6 for 66 yards. Ooh, on my paper it looks very devilish. That's kind of ominous.
No, Calvin Johnson?
88. No, not Kellen Johnson. Kellen Winslow.
Oh, Kellen Winslow, yeah.
Okay. Mike Williams had 4 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. However, as you were about to mention, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson, 6 catches, 88 yards, and 2 touchdowns, with a contribution from newly acquired tight end Tony Scheffler, who had a touchdown on the day himself. In addition to needing a new conditioning coach, I would argue that Freeman needs to think about his decision-making as well. The Lions had, it looks like, about 118 yards more on offense and only 2 for 11 on third downs. So what that tells me is we got a lot of big plays on offense from the Lions. Fewer third downs overall. The Bucks went 6 for 14 on third down, but... basically, the one turnover making the difference in this game. That pretty much wraps it up for me. The Lions looking to cause a little bit of damage. I think there's no team that wants to play them at this point.
The Bucks only attempted 16 rushes.
Yes.
And Tony Scheffler had a rush for 5 yards. Oh, shocking. A tight end. It runs for 5 yards.
No, I didn't even see that. Wow, yeah. Yeah. So apparently there's an end around.
Wow.
No, I missed that. I just saw, probably just saw one for five. And then, oh my God, it's Tony Scheffler. End around. Big deal. So quite a bit of contribution on that front. I think that'll take us to the study hall, will it not, gentlemen?
Yes, it will.
So how did we do this week?
Well, I'm 6-2. Leading the pack, you're 5-3, and Weasel's 4-4.
Mostly on the strength of the Steelers
and the Bucks.
Well, yeah, we were smart enough to pick the Lions. Sorry, Weasel. I'm not going to claim NFC North bias because, again, the Lions being the Lions as they were in the past, I can see why it's tough for you to pick them, whether, you know, they're an NFC North contender or not. NFC North contender? I don't believe I just use that word. Usually I just say team. Now I'm saying contender? This is retarded. I mean, you know, wow.
Yeah, I had him as number two in the
division.
I was trying to get him in the playoffs. I just think they're that good. I just couldn't see it on paper.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? And maybe they'll still impress us yet. Let's go down the list, Chris.
All right. This week, first game, 1 o'clock. You get the Bucks at the Vikings.
Weasel. And yes, this is a hard one, so I would understand if you took your time.
Let's see. On the fly, I will pick... I'll pick the Vikings.
The Vikings weren't able to do any offense against a mediocre, soft defense. Apparently, the loss of Bryant McKinnie, has been much more a detriment to them than I thought. And on top of all that, at some point in the game, the Chargers lost their star nose tackle, Luis Castillo. All that gone, they still couldn't do anything. Maybe McNabb will get a shot in his arm, but I don't think it'll be enough to beat the pissed off Bucks. I got the Bucks, Chris.
Yeah, they're going up north playing in a dome. They don't have the heat. They don't have the heat.
Cold weather. Up in Minnesota.
But they don't have the heat. But the important thing is the Tampa team doesn't have the heat to work.
You know, I was originally going to go with the Vikings, but, you know, I think I did my picks before the end of the Vikings game yesterday. I'm switching over to the Bucks right now. So they're gonna bounce back, the Bucks, next week.
All right, who's next?
Let's see here. The Bears at the Saints.
Okay, well, look, it was impressive that the Bears did what they did. But let everyone remember, it was on the strength of mistakes. I don't see the Saints making the same amount of mistakes, because if there's going to be a team that has more weapons than the Falcons, it's the Saints. Falcons D didn't show up like I thought they would. That's why that happened. Saints have no D. They won't need it, because I think the shootout that will be created, Cutler's going to screw up at some point. Though props to him for his performance last week, I got the Saints.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to shootout, because Saints, they could score it well. And, yeah, I don't think Cutler could keep up. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Bears D keeps up enough, keeps the pace capped enough for Cutler to keep up with it.
Yeah, so Saints.
Yeah, if it's going to be a shootout, I got the Saints all the way. Besides, the Bears are a cold weather team. They're coming down to the South.
Yeah. You know, I only wanted to make fun of the Tampa team having cramps. And that was funny, and then you two get involved.
Nice.
What's next?
The Browns at the Colts.
This is ridiculously difficult to pick right now, especially after what we saw last week. I mean, yeah, the Browns have no defense. The Texans' defense, oddly enough, is actually a lot better than the Browns. Colt McCoy ain't bad. And who's going to stop Peyton Hillis or Andre Johnson? God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick the Browns. Weasel.
I got the Browns.
Oh, I don't feel so bad now.
I got the Browns as well. How bad the Colts are with Kerry. They got Kerry Collins, in quarterback.
No bias from the Giants fan. With the quarterback who cost him a Super Bowl whatsoever. None.
When he carry it like a loaf of bread.
Next game.
Jags at Jets.
Is anybody really seriously considering the Jags in this?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Next.
The Seahawks at the Steelers.
Okay, well, we have to by accident, because it was 35-7 where the Steelers lost last week. And the Seahawks lost to the Niners. I still got the Steelers. Simply put, they're going to be pissed. Chris.
I'm going to pick the Steelers for that play, because they're going to be pissed. And you got T-Jack on the other side of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, baby.
Steelers up by 40 on this one.
$8 million contract.
They're playing in Pittsburgh. Steelers by 40.
I hope they don't break his fingers so he can still count his money while he's in the hospital. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Steelers.
Wait, really?
Chargers at Pats. Game's going on right now, so we don't know what any significant injuries going on.
True. Always a disadvantage we have to the ESPN staff, and we still beat a lot of them. Right. But, look, we know that the Chargers are without their star nose tackle. We know that the Patriots are an offensive force. And we all know that Phillip Rivers is a fraud. Patriots. Weasel. Seriously.
I'll make the Patriots.
I got the Patriots as well.
I had a feeling.
You know, the Chargers do not come over to the East Coast
very well.
they're a Southern California beach kind of team. They can't come over to the East Coast worth anything.
Actually, Foxborough is really cold in September. Anyways, what's next?
The Texans at the Dolphins.
This should be an easy game to pick.
Should be.
But it, again, without knowing how the Dolphins came out, I'm going to go from the hip here. I don't think they're going to come out well. I know last I looked while we were going through the research, it was 7-7 in the Monday night game.
14-7 now.
Patriots, I assume.
Yes.
Well, whatever. I still have the Texans. Weasel.
I got the Texans.
Chris.
I got the Texans as well.
This is really tough.
Boring.
Next one is the Rams at the Giants, Monday night game.
I would have a long discussion and reason for this. Simply put, no Stephen Jackson and an injured Sam Bradford. It's going to be hard for me to pick against the Giants, so I won't. The Giants.
Giants.
Yeah, I was going to go with because the Giants just looked horrible.
Oh, yeah, Coughlin yesterday. Yeah.
And Justin Tuck coming back next week.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
I got the Giants are going to be pissed off just like the Steelers are. And we'll probably won't win by 40, but...
I think the Steelers will be more pissed, but yeah. Believe it in that.
And that'll be it.
So that'll wrap it up. Where we got some differences there?
Looks Vikings. Like just the Viking game. Everything else, we're exactly the same through.
So me and you are the same
on the Bucks, but so,
yeah.
So either you can be tied with Weasel next week, or you can be up two and I can be up three. So
Weasel can fall further back. That's right.
Yep, that's it.
But on his defense, he fell back early last year and came on strong at the end.
That's true.
I think he was pretty close the first few weeks.
Probably about week 4 or 5, he was probably like about 3 or 4 games down, and then all of a sudden,
and then
he had that perfect week. It was like, except for that Monday night game,
he still don't know how he did that. Yeah. But anyway, so if you have anything to add to any of our discussion, feel free to leave a comment on the posting www.thestudentofthegame.com. You could also shoot us an email at thosotg@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us to iTunes. You got an iPod, iPhone, anything like that. Make it easy for you to come up with. Follow us on Twitter on VSOTG. And I think we're even on Facebook as well, too, the Student of the Game. Facebook.com/TheStudentOfTheGame. Anyways, I'm Kyle for Chris and Weasel. We will see you for week 2 next week.